Weekend. So for all the ladies, I just want to emphasize again, it's really going to be fantastic. We spent the whole of yesterday just rehearsing all the worship set. We're going to be doing this first song that we did tonight there as well, so now at least you know it. But I just have such an expectancy because not just even for the women, all the volunteers that are going to be there, they're also still looking for men volunteers, if anyone wants to volunteer. This is a great opportunity to meet some beautiful people. I had to, come on, okay. But the thing is why I was so excited is because of the scripture. I just felt it was so in season. It wasn't even just in season for the woman. I really felt it was in season for everyone. That God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power of a sound mind. And just because of that, my expectation went to there. And I don't actually know anything about what they're talking about, what's going on. I just know the set list that we're going to do, but that's it. But I've got such an expectation because I know that scripture is really in season and it's really what is on God's heart. And so also for tonight, it tied in really nicely. For the past couple of Sundays, we've been really focusing a lot on the fact that we are getting shaken, okay? A lot of us are going through things that are really tough. You know, I'm not talking about, like, little situations where it's kind of sort of, you know, not lekker or your friend is having a fight with you. I'm talking about really big things that are shaking the foundation that we are finding ourselves upon. And so we've been talking a lot about how do I deal with that and what do I do with being shaken and, you know, yeah, what do I do? And tonight, just in preparation for this, I really felt God just saying, you know what, it really is time that we start now looking beyond the being shaken and look at God and actually do it in a place of praise. And that's why, just to tell you, I'm going to be talking tonight about the power of praise, and that's why I wanted us to do it this way around, because I want us to actually make this practical tonight, because it's not going to help if I talk about our amazing praises and then we go home, okay? So I want us to really receive this from God, and then we're going to practically praise God together. Okay, I am super excited about worship in general, not just because I like to sing, but because there's something about God's heart that you can only connect with when you start praising Him and worshiping Him. This is the one topic that I think I can make 50 sermons out of, but I won't now. I'll keep you that long tonight. But there's just so much in the Word about praise and about worship, the ways that you can look at it. And I'm not going to be talking tonight about the doctrine behind it. If you want to find out more about that kind of detail, you're more than welcome to go to Bible school. They've got an amazing session on that. AB that was leading the worship tonight actually teaches on worship. And he was just sharing a little bit with us the other night at band night about, you know, the Ark of the Covenant and how instruments came into place. And it's just so interesting to see how God's heart for worship was there from the beginning. So if you want to know that detail, go to him afterwards. He'll be more than happy to tell you. Or just go to Bible school. That's exactly why we have it, so that we can go into depth on these kinds of topics. But tonight, I want to focus on the power of praise. And I quickly just want to make a reference that we get praise in worship, okay? So typically when you come to a Sunday evening, we start with two praise songs, then we do a high praise song, and then worship, okay? Now, I'm not going to go into too much detail on all these technicalities, but the most important thing for you to understand, and I'm going to generalize because every song is a little bit different, but when we look at worship, that is a place where we focus on God and about how His heart looks towards ours, what He did for us. You know, a song that's actually a very good example is How He Loves Us. Most of you know it. And when she starts and she says, He is jealous for me, and His love is like a hurricane, and that I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His mercy. And that is exactly why the chorus then goes, He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. And that is worship. Because it's an intimate connection with God. It's going, God, I see what You do. I see what You have done for me. And the response on that is worship. I can't help but respond in worship. Okay. So that's why we usually end the sets on that, is because we want to end the night with that focus on giving thanks to God, saying, like, here I am. I humble myself. This is why a lot of times you'll find, you know, we'll say, you know, just humble yourself before the Lord. Go on your knees or, you know, be honest before the Lord, because that is an intimate place. It's you and God. It's a secret place where you enter in. And even though we're doing it collectively as a church, it's something you can also do at home. And that's why it's so precious, that intimate place of worship. But when we look at praise, and this is something that I've really been struggling for a long time, is why do we struggle with praise? You know, it's so easy for us on a Sunday to go into worship. You know, we're there. Everyone is there. It's like, I mean, I've led how many times, and when we start with worship, there's never a problem. Everyone's there. Everyone gets it. Everyone's connecting with God's heart. And I know I'm going to generalize, okay? I'm not saying everyone, but generally, I find that it's because with worship, we are also a part of it, in a sense, because we're singing about what He did for me and how it made me feel. And so I feel loved, and so I worship, okay? And there's nothing wrong with that, but it is something that we're a part of. It's more relational. But when it comes to praise, it's completely focused on God. It has nothing to do with us. Everything is about how great He is, how mighty, how wonderful, how powerful. And for some reason, it's hard not to be a part of that. Not to get selfish, not to want to also have a little bit of that. It's difficult to look at someone else. I'm not even talking about God. If you're in a relationship or with a friend, it's difficult to look at them and just focus on them, because we want to say something. In the middle of the conversation, we want to go, yeah, but, oh, this happened to me, and this is what happened, and we can't help it. That's how we are, okay? We want to give of ourselves as well. But when it comes to God, His heart is just to be praised. His heart is for us to focus completely on Him, just because He's God, just because He deserves that kind of praise. And I find that's why it's hard to praise, because all the focus is on Him. And it's a selfless thing. It's us going, this has nothing to do with me, and I love it. I'm happy that it has nothing to do with me. It has all to do with God, so I'm going to praise Him. Okay, does it make sense? Okay, I don't want to confuse anyone. I'm not going to do a teaching on how we do set lists, and that's not the point. I just want you to understand why there's a difference between worship and praise. Okay, it also has nothing to do with how quick the song is or how slow. It has everything to do with the words and what we are saying to God. Then I actually want to ask you, can you go to the song we just did, Freedom, and you can go to the chorus. Okay. I want us just to look at the lyrics, all right? If you just had to read it, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Every chain is broken through you, Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Whoa, okay. It's not exactly a very creative poem, if you had to look at it like that. All right, but this is something in preparation that we as the band do. Not just do we go through the notes and learn our parts or whatever, we go through the lyrics, especially if you're leading worship. And the reason for me behind it is because I can't come here on a Sunday and lead worship if I don't actually understand what I'm singing and what am I singing about. Okay, then the lyrics is just lyrics. It's just, you know, something nice that we sing, and there's a cool drum and cool electric opening, and it's awesome, but it means nothing. And this is why I can't connect with the song if I don't understand what we are singing about. And this is why the lyrics of the songs that we sing in church, we choose very carefully. We pick songs, not just any song that sounds cool on the radio. We make sure that we pick songs that are also biblical according to their lyrics. Because what we sing here is directed towards God, and this is holy ground. We're singing to a holy king. Okay, if you had been living in the Old Testament times, you wouldn't have been able even to come as near as we are now with God. There wasn't that privilege. So when we sing to God, we don't want to sing songs that are selfish. We want to sing songs that are directed towards Him. Okay, and this is something that for me personally, I've just always clicked it. So this is hard for me sometimes to understand, but I don't get why sometimes we stand like this. And the Spirit of the Lord is there, is free. Okay, chappy go, and then we go to the worship song, and then we fall down. Yes, Lord, you know? I don't get that, because this is the most important part for me, coming into the courts of the King with praise and thanksgiving. honoring him for who he is, because this is what makes me want to go down on my knees. This is what makes me realize I'm nothing. He's so powerful. He's so great. This is why I need to get down on my knees and worship him. It's from that place that I have a response to worship him. And I'm not saying this to condemn anyone, please. This is not a condemning message. I'm just saying there's something in us that's supposed to worship something. And especially when it's towards God, you know, if you're not saved and you don't know God, you will worship something, because that's how we were made. We were made to worship something other than ourselves. But that's why I feel so privileged to know God, because I know I'm worshiping the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is huge, okay? There's scriptures where David writes, if he just touches a mountain, it will come up in smoke. If he speaks, the earth starts trembling. I mean, can you even picture God like that? You can't. It's too big. And that's why when we sing praise songs, it comes from that place of you are so big. And that's why when I prepare songs, I go through this. Now, obviously, this is the same thing over and over again, but this is now where the power of praise comes in. When we sing songs, it's not just songs. It's word, okay? This is actually scriptural. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. It's in scripture. Where it says, every chain is broken through you, Jesus, is also scripture. They've just paraphrase or change it a bit to make it work with a melody, but it's scripture. So if you think about it, we are singing word, and the word is life. And when you say that whole scripture of, I'm putting the armor of God on, what is the Bible in the armor? What is the... Huh? Sword, thank you, Altus. Okay. So it's a sword. The word is the sword. So if you think about this now, you are singing word. So you are singing something with power. So you can't just sing it where the Spirit of the Lord. You can't just do that. You are singing where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You are proclaiming something. Okay, this is why sometimes I can't help it. I start jumping and I'm doing this because I get it. It's like, God, this is me proclaiming something in this space. Okay? I'm getting all excited before I even started the whole sermon. All right. So I want to go to scripture. Because I want us to see this is not just something that I'm excited about. This is something that God wants us to get the authority behind praise. That it's not just things that we do. It's not just us shouting at the Lord. You know, when we say, give a shout to God, it's not just, whoa, it's not a concert thing. It's not to get you all hyped up. There's authority behind it. There's purpose behind it. So I want us to look at scripture and actually see how it was used. And there's so many examples, but I'm going to focus on two. The first one is the Wall of Jericho, which everyone should know. If you want to read it with on your phone or in your Bible, whatever, it's from Joshua 6, verse 1 to 17. I've just skipped some of it because it's a bit long. Okay. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. Okay, so you know where we are. All the Israelites are now waiting. They've crossed the river. They're waiting to go into Jericho. You know this is massive. The walls are huge. The people that are in there are terrifying. The first time they went there, they were so intimidated, they just couldn't go, and they had to go back to the desert. So now they're back. And this time they're not intimidated. But this time, they're going to listen to God and obey what he says. The Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. Okay, and the ram's horn here, I'm going to look at the ends, is also a shofar, right? Yes, okay. We are called shofar for a reason. Okay, our name was picked very specifically. I'm not going to even go into detail, but there's something prophetic and authoritative about blowing a ram's horn, blowing a shofar. And isn't it amazing that that's the instrument that God instructs them to use to be in front of the army to go around Jericho, okay? And I want to say this too, because if you are here tonight as one of shofar's members, there's something that calls you to be like that. Every person that isn't planted in a church, there's a reason why God planted you in that church. And if you're planted in shofar, yes, we are the people that are going to walk in the front. and blow shofars and make a noise for the Lord. Okay. All right, going on. On the seventh day, you are to march around the town seven times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse, and the people can charge straight into the town. So Joshua called together the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the Lord's covenant and assign seven priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn. After Joshua spoke to the people, the seven priests with the ram's horns started marching in the presence of the Lord. I mean, what a privilege to do that already, to be asked to do that. Blowing the horns as they marched, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed behind them. And then Joshua says, do not shout, do not even talk, Joshua commanded, not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout, then shout. They followed this pattern for 6 days, and on the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the town as they had done before. But this time, they went around town seven times. The seventh time, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the town. Okay. Now, this is hard for us to hear, because we don't want to hear this. We want a plan. We want a blueprint. We want instructions. We want the army, and we want to know how we're going to go, where are the arrows going to angle, you know, what things are we going to use to ramp it up to this wall? What are we going to physically, what am I going to do, God? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And God says exactly the opposite. You're going to do nothing. You're going to be quiet for 6 days. I mean, that would really be hard for me. Okay. That already in itself is really odd, okay? But you're going to be quiet for 6 days, and the only sound is going to be that of the shofars blowing for 6 days. And on the seventh day, you're not just going to walk around once. You're going to do it seven times. And then you're going to shout. Now, in my mind, I don't know what I would have thought. I probably would have thought, God, you're crazy. This is crazy. I mean, look at this city, and you're asking me to walk around silently. I mean, silently is already hectic. So now I have to walk around, and I'm not allowed to do anything. And these guys on the front are blowing their horns. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? But there's a lot of us in this, the controlling thing, the I want to do this. And especially if we find ourselves in really difficult and hard situations, this is what we do. God, I need an answer. I need to know how to get out of this. Why is this happening? And how am I supposed to get out of it? So we fast, and we do this, and we go to this healer, and this conference, and this thing, and this deliverance, and, you know, we do everything except go to God, be still, and know that I'm God. Why is this so hard for us? I know it's hard for me. I'm preaching this whole thing to myself tonight, I just want to say, because I'm going through exactly what all of you guys are going through. This is hard. But what's amazing for me about this whole situation, is that God got all the glory. Because after the walls came tumbling down, everyone feared God and the Israelites as well, because of the God that they served. And I really try to picture what would it have been like, that last moment, you know, when Joshua just goes, you know, shout, and everyone is shouting, and it's going crazy, and like these walls start crumbling, and it's like this roar. And I mean, can you imagine how terrifying that must be? And you did nothing. All you did was march and shout right at the end. But there's something powerful about that, because all God wanted was to focus, just focus on me. You be quiet, you do what I want you to do. There's order, because God's always a God of order. There's a clear plan. And the battle was won. Okay. Are you seeing the connection with praise? If not yet, the next one will make it very obvious. The next example was King Jehoshaphat. Am I saying that right? Jehoshaphat, okay. So this is, you can't really see there, it's 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15 to 29. Do yourself a favor and go and read about this king, his complete story. In any case, it is really fascinating to see where God took him from and what happened and how all of this comes together. So just to give you some background, before we start reading this, this is where one of the messengers told King Jehoshaphat that they now have this multitude of people. And I mean, a multitude is a lot of people, I don't know, but it's obviously a lot, because he was really, really scared. And he asked the whole of Judah to come together and fast and plead for God's help. Okay, so this says to me, this must have been really hectic. This kind of makes me feel like that scene in The Matrix when all that stuff comes through the roof. What were they called? I don't know what they were called. But it's one of those ridiculous scenes where it's like, this is impossible. And there's one gun and they're shooting and all this stuff keeps coming and he wins. And I mean, it's impossible. But it kind of feels like that. Like the stuff just keeps coming and coming. So they were fearful. They were so scared that he asked everyone to come. We're now going to fast and plead for God to come and help us. And what is really amazing is two things. The one is that the prophet that is giving him the word that we're now going to read is actually a part of the lineage of the Levites. And if you know about the Levites, they were the ones that God actually chose for himself to look after the house of God. And they were also the tribe that David gave instruments to worship in the house of God. And then this prophet that comes, he was a part of that lineage. And the second thing is that the name of Judah actually means praise. Okay? So there's a bigger picture here that God was already painting before this message even came to them. All right, so thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. You will not need to fight in the battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And I love that it's actually the exact same thing. You're not going to fight this battle. It's my battle. But here, what's beautiful for me is how God encourages them and actually says, I'm with you. Do not be dismayed. Do not fear. I am with you. And then their response is just beautiful. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Okay, so you can just wait there for a minute. This is what's super powerful about this first part. It's when God comes and says to them, I'm with you. I'm not forsaking you. I'm going with you. Their response is worship. It's not praise. Okay, we're going to get to that now. It's worship. It's this getting that God's heart is for you. Knowing that someone is for you is the most powerful thing someone can tell you. I am for you. You are not alone. And their response, I mean, he's a king, down on his face, worshiping God. That's how intimate their response was to him. That's how thankful. And then right after that, it says, then the Levites, which you obviously know now are the tribe that cares for the house of the Lord, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. And this I love, because there's no formula. There's nothing that says, okay, they did this and then this happened. It was a response. It was a natural response. God said, I'm for you. They worship him. They're so thankful. And from that place where they worship him, they couldn't contain themselves. They got up and they started praising God because they realized the power of God. It was like that moment that they were on the ground actually got them to realize God is going to fight this battle for us. And if it was me and I was lying on the ground busy praying to God and worshiping and that realization hit me, I would have done the same. I would have jumped up dancing and shouting like, thank you, God. I don't have to fight. This is not my battle. God is saying, I'm for you and the battle is mine. That's something to be excited about. I mean, that is a powerful, powerful God. But he doesn't yet tell them what he's going to do. Okay, so they rose early in the morning. Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. Again, they went before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Okay, again, war situation, something to tremble about and be really, really scared. And they get singers to stand in the front and sing, "Great is the Lord, his mercy endures forever." Again, that doesn't feel like it makes sense, right? I mean, why would God want you to sing when you're walking towards people that would probably kill you? His mercy endures forever, and you're shaking your boots. Like, it doesn't make sense. And the only way I know that I would be able to do that is if I believed it. And I think that's why it's so powerful. Joshua actually says to them, "If you believe." And they believed, and they went. And they sang to him because they believed what they were singing. There was authority in what they were already proclaiming. Does it make sense? They're already saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." They're proclaiming it even before they knew what was going to happen. And at the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. At the moment, okay? So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, now they only get there, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. There was so much, it took them 3 days just to collect it. And on the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when I heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Okay. That is authority. That is understanding that what we are singing is not just a song. We are proclaiming something to God. And the moment the whole focus goes to God and his glory and his splendor, everything else comes into order. And I want to share with you tonight that there's a place where we actually need to make the decision to get up from where we're sitting in the difficult situation where we are, and we need to choose to praise God. And this is hard because we don't feel like it. You don't feel like getting up and dancing and praising the Lord when you're going through something really hectic. But if we start understanding the power of praise, doesn't that make it a bit different? And I want to share with you just, I can't give you too much detail, but Mary and I have really been going through a very, very rough time for months now on all aspects. Like, pick a topic and it's going rough. And especially with the wine situation, there's like nothing we can do about it. Nothing. And now, typically the enemy, never original, he uses these situations where we're getting shaken to now start pointing these accusing fingers. So now with this that we're dealing with, I'm getting these voices saying to me, you, this. And all of a sudden, I just couldn't think. I couldn't see clearly. I couldn't hear clearly. It was like there was this noise, and I just couldn't get out of it. And I felt like I was in this really deep black hole, and I just couldn't get out of it. I was reading my Bible. I was spending time. I mean, I'm coming to church, and this black hole is just not going away. And the ironic thing is this has happened a lot of times in my life where I knew that I just had to get up and praise God, but for some reason, I just couldn't do it. And then, I think it was 2 weeks ago that I led worship, I think two or three, and I was thinking so many times that week, I'm just going to call Avi and say, "Please, I can't do this. Can you just lead?" Because now the enemy was just saying to me, "You're a hypocrite, because you are in a black hole." And it's not going well with you. All this nonsense. And finally, I just felt like, no, I'm not the only one. I know a lot of us are going through really, really rough things. And I don't want to. So I picked the set list, maybe a little bit selfish, but I picked the set list according to songs that I knew was about God's greatness. And the one specifically was Desert Song. And the morning that I led, I prayed with Murray, and you know, we were just honest. We just brought it before God, and we said, we're really standing in faith for this heaviness to go. Because in Isaiah, God is very clear that, you know, with a garment of praise, the cloak of heaviness will be removed. And that's what I was standing in faith for. I couldn't take this anymore. And so that night, I'll never forget this, as we got to Desert Song, it was like the whole church just clicked. We got to the bridge, and we can maybe just go to that next slide. We got to the bridge, and it was like everyone just started proclaiming, not singing, proclaiming this, saying, all of my life, in every season, you are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. All of a sudden, the song wasn't just a song. It was something we were proclaiming. And for me personally, I was singing that out. I was screaming it out. I was like, enough. This is now where I'm taking authority. I'm over this. And I'm focusing on God. And then the chorus as well. I will bring praise. I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice. I will declare God is my victory and he is here. And I'm underlying the will because I had to choose it. I had to choose to go, I will praise. I will choose God. And I'm not lying to you. I literally finished that set. That was the night Tien spoke about shaking. So I cried in the sermon. But that heaviness lifted immediately. My situation hasn't changed. The things that we're going through are still there. The things I can't change are still there. But the heaviness is gone. There's a peacefulness, there's a trust, there's a clarity that wasn't there before. And that is the power of praise. And even in all the stuff that we can't control, I'm still standing in faith for God to come and be the redemptive power. But right now, all I need to do is praise. I need to praise him because the battle is not mine. And this is why I love what King Jehoshaphat got. The battle was not his. His response was, okay, God, I'm on my face. I'm the king, but I can do nothing. I've got no power. And his response is worship. And then he appoints people to go and praise God. And the most amazing thing for me is power in worship. I got saved on a worship song. I didn't get saved because someone called me to the front. I'll never forget it. Standard 7 was my first experience of a very vibey band. And I kind of got lost in all the songs, and it was, you know, I was looking at the words because I didn't know any of it. After that, I went and bought CDs to try to get what's going on here. But it was the music, the song just started, and it was like when the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come. Sorry. And that was it. And the chorus was, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. And I was standing at 7, and I just went to the front. I didn't even know what was going, I just went. But I believe that was the moment, and that's the power of praise and of worship, if you want to look at it like that, but that is the power of it. God spoke to me clearly. And again, now, 2 weeks ago, just going, God, in every season, you are still God. And like that, heaviness got lifted. And I'm not saying this is a magic formula, because it's not. This is purely going, I choose to focus on God. I choose to not focus on the battle, because it's not mine. I want you to go back to the chorus of Freedom, and then the band can just start coming up. I want us tonight to start again and look at these songs and really look at the lyrics. Okay, if you really wanted to, I can go through every song with you and go through the lyrics. Because this is something we have to do. We can't just come here on a Sunday and go, you know, let me get through the songs and then the sermon and then I'll have my coffee and I'll go home. It's pointless. Because this also flows into what happens in the week. And I want to challenge all of us. I'm saying it to me as well. If you're not worshiping God at home, what is stopping you? If you can't sing, whatever. If you can't play an instrument, whatever. There's people that can do that. That's why there's a lot of CDs out there. Go and get a CD that you feel, I get these words. It's not about the song. It's not about the pretty melodies. It's about the words. It's about what you can say, yes. Yes, God, I will praise you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Yes, I can sing that. Yes, I will sing that. Other times, you're not going to sing anything. You're going to go flat on your face and be quiet. And you're going to know that God is God. But either way, the focus will be on Him. Completely on Him. I want you to stand with me. Sorry, Linda, I'm throwing you around with the projector. Can you go back to the lyrics of the desert song, the previous one more back. Yes. Okay. Before we start with the praise tonight, I want us to just read these lyrics together. I know we know all the melody, but I don't want us to sing it. I want us to proclaim it. I just want us to say it. Because as much as I don't know where you guys are, I don't know the details of the situations that all of you are going through, but we can as a group, as a family, choose tonight to go, no, we don't want this heaviness. We don't want the intimidation. And when we sing these songs tonight, we're actually saying by that, no fear will be in this place. No fear will be welcome. No intimidation will be welcome. Nothing that brings me down is welcome here. Because the Spirit of the Lord is here, so there's freedom. Does it make sense? Okay, so I want us to read this together. All of my life, in every season, you are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. Next slide. I will bring praise. I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice. I will declare God is my victory and He is here. It's Father, tonight we just want to bring our hearts before you and say, God, we don't want to be these timid beings that just walk around in these dark halls and not take the authority that you've given us, Father. Lord, we repent for the not actually believing that the battle is yours, for making it our battle. The thing that we have to deal with alone. And Father, we understand that there's a time for shaking, there's a time for pruning. And Father, we want to bear better fruit. We want to have fruit that is bigger and better and it is a reflection of who you are. But when it comes to the enemy accusing us and almost kicking us when we're down, Father, that's not what we want. And Father, you've given us the authority. You say, Lord, that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the powers and principalities. And so, Father, tonight as we sing these songs, we're not just singing lyrics, Father. We are proclaiming something. We're proclaiming truth. We are saying where you are, there is freedom, Lord. Every chain is broken, Father. We stand in faith for that tonight. And with every song, come and open our eyes, Lord, so we can see what you see, so we can hear what we're not hearing, Father, that we can proclaim it. Right from the beginning to the end. And Lord, I pray that this will not stop yet tonight. We will take it home with us, Lord. Awaken that heart of worship for us again at home. That it will not just become a Sunday thing and it's over and done with, Father. It will become a daily thing. Every day is worship unto you, is praise unto you. And Father, tonight we choose to look at you where you're standing on the sea and the ocean is raging and we're scared, Father. We don't want to walk, but tonight we say fear will no longer have a place here. Thank you that your perfect love drives out all fear, Father. We choose to walk over that water towards you. We choose to dance over the water towards you, Father. To go and praise you. To say you are greater than the storm around me, greater than these waves, Father. You are great. You are great and powerful, God. We choose to do that, Father. Lord, and I pray tonight for any person that is standing here thinking, God, this is ridiculous. I can't just sing and feel better. Lord, I pray for a heart revelation. I pray that they'll forget the stuff that I said and actually hear you. I pray that right now in these songs, Father, they will experience that heaviness being lifted. And Lord, I pray for every person to come and choose to put on that garment of praise and to worship you, Father. Lord, I pray for specific people here tonight that are being shaken so badly that just think, this is too hard. I can't do this. I can't sing. Don't even ask me. But Father, you're not asking us to understand, and you're also not saying you're taking away the storm. Father, you're saying, choose me. Come to me. Be still and know that I am God. I am God. And thank you, Lord, that the battle is yours. We proclaim that. I proclaim that over every mind, over everything that's going inside of us, saying, this is, I can't do this, Father. I'm proclaiming tonight in faith, the battle is yours, Lord. It is not ours. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for the joy of our salvation. We thank you that because of your joy, we have strength. And I pray for a joyfulness over this place. I just feel before we start, if you're feeling heavy right now, there's a place where when God says, my joy is your strength, he really means that. Because there's a joyfulness, there's a reason why they got up after they worshipped and started praising God, because that was from a place of joy. A place of knowing, my goodness, what an amazing king. Joyfully unto the Lord. And it's something we can choose together tonight. So Avi is going to lead us now in the next 5 songs. I really want to ask you, don't walk out. I know it's going to feel like, okay, great opportunity to slip out. No one's going to know. It's not about us. It's about you and God. Take this opportunity and worship him. Praise through that storm tonight. And when we're done, I want all of us to just pray together and just bless one another. Okay. Amen.